Avalada Durvavadari Yashoda Nandana Prabhupada Radhana Yashoda Nandana Prabhupada Radhana Yamuna Tira Vandachari Yamuna Tira Vandachari Yamuna Tira Vandachari Punda Bihari Yaivoku Janna Vallada Girivara Gari Voku Janna Vallada Girivara Gari Yashoda Nandana Prabhupada Radhana Yashoda Nandana Prabhupada Radhana Yamuna Tira Vandachari Yamuna Tira Vandachari Gaura Madhava Kunja Bihari Gaura Madhava
Iskun Bibiti Foundrisharya Hismureshra Prabhupada Kija Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Kija Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kija Vrindavandam Kija Mayapur Dham Kija Gangamaya Muntmai Kija Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Kija Harinam Sankirtan Yajya Kija All goes to some devotees, all goes to some devotees, all goes to some devotees, all goes to all goes to Shri Guru and Gaurangam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Shall we read Srimad Bhagavatam? Canto 11, chapter 8, text 9, and text 10. We're going to read as well. Stokam stokam grasen grasam. Stokam stokam grasen grasam. Deho vartitaya vatam. Deho vartitaya vatam. Grihanna himsan atishte. Grihanna himsan atishte. Vritim madhukarim munim. Vritim madhukarim munim. Stokam stokam grasen grasam. Deho vartitaya vatam. Grihanna himsan atishte. Vritim madhukarim munim.
Always a little bit.
Grasset. One should eat.
Grasam.
Food.
Deham.
The material body.
Vartetam.
That it may live.
Yavatam.
With that much.
Griham.
The householders.
Ahimsan.
Not harassing.
Atishtet.
One should practice.
Vritim.
The occupation.
Madhukarim.
Of the honeybee.
Muni.
A saintly person. Translation and purport. A saintly person should accept only enough food to keep his body and soul together. He should go from door to door accepting just a little bit of food from each family. Thus, he should practice the occupation of the honeybee. Purport. Sometimes a honeybee is attracted by the extraordinary aroma of particular lotus flower and lingers there, neglecting his usual activity of flying from flower to flower. Unfortunately, at sunset, the lotus flower closes, and thus the infatuated honeybee is trapped. Similarly, a sannyasi or brahmachari may discover that excellent foodstuff is available at a particular house, and therefore, instead of wandering from place to place, he may become a perishable resident of such well-fed household. Thus, he will become bewildered by the illusion of family life and fall down from the platform of renunciation. Also, if mendicant takes unfair advantage of the Vedic custom of charity and takes too often from a single family, the resentment he causes will disturb the social order. An ideal sage should, like the honeybee, travel from place to place, but he must be careful not to become chubby bee. By going to many houses and eating sumptuously at each house. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a chubby bee will undoubtedly become entangled in the network of Maya. No one should be overly attached to the gratification of his tongue, because this will lead to an overstuffed belly and then uncontrollable lust. In conclusion, one should not endeavor very much for material sense gratification, but should instead endeavor strenuously to spread the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna. This is the proper use of human energy. And you're going to read the following verse as well.
Anubhyasham mahubhyasham sesnade kushalo naram sarvata saramadajyat pushebhyahivasakadam.
Translation. Just as a honeybee takes nectar from all flowers, big and small, an intelligent human being should take the essence from all religious scriptures. Purport. In human society, the original knowledge is called Veda, and the essential part of Veda or knowledge is Krishna consciousness. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Veda ischa sarvair aham eva vedya. From the honeybee, an intelligent human being should learn to take the essence or nectar of all knowledge. A honeybee does not waste its time trying to carry away an entire bush or garden, but rather takes the essential nectar. We may thus study the difference between the honeybee and the ass, who carries heavy loads. Education does not mean to become an intellectual ass carrying heavy loads of useless knowledge. Rather, one should accept the essential knowledge that leads to an eternal life of bliss and understanding. At the present time, people generally have a sectarian conception of religion, and yet there is no scientific understanding of the absolute truth. Such complacent, dogmatic, sectarian religionists can certainly learn something from the example of the honeybee given in this verse.
Stokam stokam grasendrasam deho vate tayavatam grihan ahimsan atishtet vritti madhukari munim.
A sainted person should accept only enough food to keep his body and soul together. He should go from door to door accepting just a little bit of food from each family. Thus, he should practice the occupation of the honeybee.
Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauranga Prasanna Nirvishesha Shunya Kusta Kishtana
Vancha Kalpa Tarubya Cha Kripa Sinima Eva Cha Patita Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha. So in this beautiful verse today, we are continuing the discussion between Maharaj Yadu and Avadhuta Brahmana. And as we remember from the previous verses, Avadhuta Brahmana, he explained to Maharaj Yadu that he had 24 spiritual masters and he learned something from each of them. Now, if you remember when he initially started that discussion, he was saying he took the shelter of each of them by his intelligence. Now that is a very essential point for all of us, because he did not directly speak to each of them. Sometimes we may have a tendency to think, oh, unless I always be my spiritual master, how can I know, you know, what to do? But we are so fortunate that we have these wonderful books from Srila Prabhupada, which essentially puts us in the same position. We too can take shelter of Srila Prabhupada by our intelligence, just by carefully studying and reading his books regularly. One time I was kind of trying to find verse and I was at work, didn't have any books. So I just pulled Google and I typed the database and it came up immediately. And I was thinking, wow, this is wonderful. You know, normally there's so many filters in corporate environment. You know, you can't go to Facebook, you can't do any shopping, you can't do anything. But the database came up immediately. So I was thinking, gosh, like, you know, this is incredible. You know, no matter where you live on this planet, you know, if you have internet, even if you are, you know, I don't know where, you can read Prabhupada's books. And it's free. You know, for so many things, you know, nowadays, you know, if you want to gain some knowledge or expertise in any particular field, you have to pay huge fees. You know, sometimes they charge thousands and thousands for seminars that really don't change the quality of life that much. But here we have the highest knowledge that's present on this planet, and it's available for free to everyone. So I'm just admiring how wonderful, how fortunate we are that we have Prabhupada's books. So in this verse today, Brahmana Avadhuta is saying what he learned from the honeybee. And he's speaking about eating only enough food to keep his body and soul together. And basically, he's talking about the going door to door begging for the food. And typically that would be activity for brahmacharis and sannyasis. So some of us may think, oh, how does that relate to me? You know, I'm a household, you know, there is always food in the house. But the crucial point here, this actually applies to all of us, because in this verse it says a saintly person. And saintly person is, you know, what all of us are trying and aspiring to become. So definitely it's relevant to all of us, whether we are householders or in renounced order of life. So I remember as a young brahmachari, when I joined, devotees told me, you just eat as much prasadam as you can. That will purify you. So then Sunday feast would come and devotees would cook amazing preps and they would bring it and, you know, all the devotees were lined up and prasadam would be served. And devotees would, you know, the senior devotees would tell, eat more prasadam, you know, that will purify you. So we would eat, you know, big plate of halwa, you know, ton of samosas, you know, 2 cups of sweet rice. And then by the end, you know, we couldn't even walk. You know, we were supposed to go out to, you know, preach to the guests at the Sunday feast. But most of the brahmacharis, we were just lying on the floor, you know, trying to recover. So, you know, shortly after I realized, you know, I mean, no matter how much prasadam I eat, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, I'm not going to become pure devotee that fast. So why is that so important? We know even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about that, that one should eat moderately, you know, not too much, not too little. One should sleep moderately, not too much, not too little. And also in Nectar of Instructions, we find the same point being highlighted. And, you know, one would think like, you know, what's so big deal, you know, it's just eating, you know. But it's actually very, very important. So it says, Atyahara prayasasyam prajalpunyam angraham janasanga shavlaulyam cham sadbir bhaktir vinashiti. So it's listing the six items that can ruin one's devotional service. And the first one on the list is, guess what? It says, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. Basically, it's the first thing on the list. And I like how Prabhupada is, the way it's translated, it says, once devotional service is spoiled, that word spoiled is really very descriptive. You know, if you ever had a, you know, subject that's left outside the fridge, you know, for day or two, you know, maybe you just forgot it in the, you know, in the oven. You know how fast it gets spoiled. And, you know, it smells bad and, you know, it's not, you know, edible anymore. So similarly, our devotional service actually can be spoiled in the same way if we engage in either too much eating or too much over endeavor for sense gratification. And, you know, there's a list going on. So in that way, we can understand there is a huge importance in controlling the senses. And what does that lead to? It leads to more peaceful mind. And mind is the key. If we have a mind that's, as Krishna is saying in Gita, our friend, our devotional practice will be so much easier. If we have a mind that's against us, it's kind of like a swimming, you know, upstream and struggling big time. So there is so much influence in the present day that can affect our mind. So much media, so much useless information. The verse we were reading, verse number 10, was in the purport, they were saying, education does not mean become an intellectual ass. I was thinking, wow, very strong statement. And basically it's saying one should not just accumulate the knowledge that for the sake of, you know, being so well informed, and but without really understanding what's the essential importance of that knowledge. So Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was explaining in his book. He was saying there's so many things that can divert our mind, and there's so many advertisers that are trying to capture our attention. But above all of that, there is one big advertiser, or you can call him marketing agent, that's actually within us, and that's our mind. And he's continuously promoting the illusory pleasures, you know, making the promises that he can never fulfill. And the life after life, he keeps us trapped, you know, keeps us under his control. So I'm sure you all heard the story of Aladdin and Magic Lamp. Kids, have you heard the story? And there is a genie that comes in the story and, you know, asks Aladdin, you know, what, master, what you would like me to do? So this morning I was asking my daughter, Radha, did you read that story? She says, yeah. What do you think? And she says, Daddy, you know, genie doesn't exist. And I said, yeah, you're right. But actually, you know, believe it or not, You know, we all have a genie within us, and that's our mind. You know, we came, it's kind of like a package deal when you come in this material world. It comes with the material body. You can't get rid of it. So that genie is very, very powerful. It could be used to achieve anything you desire in this world. Any material pleasure, you know, many business people, you know, they teach, you know, you just focus your mind and you're going to achieve millions. Or big athletes, you know, they actually train their mind so they can perform well on Olympic Games or similar event. So in the same way, for us as devotees, the same thing applies. We have that genie who is very powerful, and one devotee told me a funny story. He said, you know, mind is like a genie, but in our case, you know, he comes and he says, engage me, I will do anything for you. If you don't engage me, I will destroy you. That's the mind. So initially he comes to us and we tell him, okay, go get me some prasadam, and he goes and gets. Then immediately we have to give him another engagement. Then we send him, okay, go do this. And then he comes really fast back. So in a similar way, you know, he continuously keeps attacking us. You know, he wants our attention and we have to engage him. So that devotee, he told me, you know what the trick is? I said, what? You have to tell genie just to chant Hare Krishna. And you know what will happen? And he said, genie will start to chant, and he will chant like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And then, you know, he will struggle, and then he will continuously over time, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, Hare. And then day after day, he comes like that, he attacks us. But we tell him, okay, sit down and chant, and the genie will sit and try his, you know, japa. But then after some time, you know, something happens. You know, the holy name is so powerful, and genie becomes so ecstatic, and he said, Hare Bol! I want to chant today. So that's what we are looking for. We want to put the mind on our side. You know, people say if you can't defeat somebody, you know, you either join the forces or you try to, you know, be diplomatic to convince the enemy to join you. So we want to convince our mind to join us in our attempt to go back home to God. So there is one interesting example in our endeavor. You know, there is you know, we all struggle against the mind and senses, but there is a huge hope for all of us. So one time there was a little child, and he entered the room, which was dark, and there was only 4 candles lit. And as he walked into the room, the first candle spoke to the child, and the candle said, I'm the candle of faith, but today nobody cares for me. There is no faith in this world. Nobody trusts anybody. You know, it's age of quarrel, you know, so I'm so neglected. And the candle went off. And the child was like, you know, astonished, like, what's going on? So the child looked at the next candle, and the next candle spoke and said, I'm the candle of love, and today nobody cares for me. In this age, you know, people get into relationships, they just want to see what's there for me, what's in it for me. You know, if I can gain anything out of this relationship, you know, I give up. So nobody cares for me, and that candle went off. So the child was kind of getting worried, oh my God, you know, it's getting dark here, you know, becoming fearful. So the next candle spoke and said, I'm the candle of peace, but nobody cares for me today. People are busy with their lives, you know, running here, running there. There's no peace. Everybody is in so much stress, running, and no time to even talk to the friends and family, and everybody is so neglected. And that candle was so sad and went off. So the child started crying. What to do? And then finally the last candle spoke, and the last candle said, I'm candle of hope. Don't worry, my child, I will not go off. Pick me up and light the other three candles. And the child took the candle of hope and lit the candle of love, peace, and faith. And the room became bright again. So that example is there to give us strong faith that, first of all of us are here because Srila Prabhupada had a huge hope for all of us. If it was not for him, we would not be here, none of us. So because of hope of pure devotee, we are all here, and because of that, we have to continue the chain of good fortune and spread it throughout the world. In fact, that is what Lord Chaitanya wanted us to do. And I know all of you are all doing that, but it's always good to remind ourselves and put the aim in the right place. So, with the practice of devotional service, we do different things, but we always come back to the foundation. And what is our foundational practice? It's a chanting. Chanting of the holy names. Recently I read one very wonderful article by Satchinandan Maharaj, and he mentions three, I would say, techniques or tips that could help all of us. And he said, he was explaining, he said, sometimes I challenge devotees and I provoke them a little bit. You know, he would tell them after kirtan, oh, you didn't chant in this kirtan. And the devotees would look, Maharaj, I was here, I was chanting. And then he would go on explaining, no, but you didn't really chant with a full heart. But then he goes on and into more details explaining, and he's saying that chanting the holy name is like the archer shooting the arrows. And he was saying there are three crucial components in that activity. First of all, the archer has to aim to the target. And what it means in our practical japa is when we sit down to chant and meditate, we have to remind ourselves, I'm doing this as a service. Sometimes we like, you know, melodious kirtans, and, you know, we kind of more take the mood of, you know, relaxing rather than really seeing it as a service. So Maharaj is explaining, first of all, we have to understand, what am I doing here? And that is aiming the arrow. What happens if you don't aim the arrow in the right place? Any of kids know? Shyam and me, we lost so many arrows going in the trees and bushes because we are not aiming correctly to the target. So you have to aim it properly to the target where you want the arrow to go, otherwise it will get lost and you won't find it. So the next thing he's explaining, so the first, you know, you aim, then there is an endeavor. The archer has to pull the string. You know, if you just put the arrow on a bow and you don't pull the string, you can stand there all day. It's not going to do anything. So there is endeavor required. So Maharaj is explaining we all have to endeavor in our chanting, because without really putting conscious endeavor, I want to hear this mantra, every round, our mind will take us. It will take us to the lands and countries we never been. It will say, do you remember 1985? What happened in your high school? And then if we say, oh, tell me more, then we are trapped. But if you tell, yeah, I keep it for some other time, then we can continue chanting. So that is the endeavor. And then finally, the last thing in that process, you know, the archer will aim, pull the string, and then he has to let the arrow go. So Maharaj is explaining, shooting the arrow is like giving ourselves to the Lord, giving up all our attachments, giving up our material desires that are conflicting with our real self-interest. And basically, it's explained that mantra is like arrow, and you know, we want to shoot ourselves back home, back to spiritual world. So I was thinking, like, very beautiful. You know, if you meditate, you know, every morning before we sit down to chant our japa, or even, you know, in any bhajans or kirtan, I'm doing this as a service to you, Lord. You know, please, please let my mind dive deeply into the nectar of your holy name. So, there's much more that could be said. I don't want to hold audio. I think we will stop here. Again, let us always remember that all these simple points, they actually have a deep meaning. Eating moderately, resting in moderation, and that will essentially save our energy so we can do more seva for the Lord. I'm going to stop here. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free to speak. If not, thank you so much. Garantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I like the class. It's pretty good.